want to call to order the regular board of commissioners meeting Tuesday, June 4th, 2024. It's 9 a.m. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Next, come on. Oh, there we go. Okay, a motion to approve the minutes for May 21st, please.
Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the meeting minutes for May 21st, 2024.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion passes. Next, please, Amanda, on the public comment.
The purpose of the public comment period is to give the audience an opportunity to provide comments to commissioners regarding agenda items or other topics. It is an official, on-the-record communication geared toward giving information and opinions to consider in the decision-making process. While the commissioners welcome hearing from you, please note that the public comment period is not an opportunity for dialogue with commissioners or for posing questions with the expectation of an immediate answer. Many questions require an opportunity for information gathering and deliberation. For this reason, the commissioners will accept comments, but will not directly respond to comments, questions, or concerns raised during the public comment period. Audience members who wish to speak should raise your hand to be called upon by the chairman, or virtual participants use the raise hand feature. Come to the podium, or virtual participants unmute your microphone when called upon. State your name and address for the record. And after speaking, write your name and address on the record sheet. Virtual participants do not complete this step. To allow every participant an opportunity to be heard, public comments will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker. The chairman will indicate when your allowed time has elapsed. In the interest of running an orderly meeting, we ask that you do not duplicate comments made by a previous speaker. Instead, please simply confirm your agreement with previous statements. When appropriate, the commissioners may refer an item identified during public comments to the county administrator for further action. Please note that if a speaker intends to give commissioners any records of any kind as a part of a presentation, the records must be handed directly to the clerk of the board for distribution.
Okay, thank you. So we have Eileen Alexander from Game Farm Road in Kenoka signed in to speak. About 3 minutes, please.
Good morning. I have recently written a letter to the to Governor Inslee about the wind farms, and I am here to share that with you. I disagree with the promotion of the wind farm in the Columbia River Basin. Wind turbines are being proposed for construction almost over 100 miles of the Columbia River Basin. The Columbia River is the lifeblood for our area of irrigation, recreation, transportation, wildlife, and our Native Americans. It is a source of water in a hot, dry climate, a refuge when fire strikes the area, and a beacon of life for centuries in this area. Wind turbines cause strong changes in air currents, wreaking havoc for anything that flies near them. Their massive size and operational noise scatter any land-dwelling creature that come close, impeding and destroying that access, that life beacon that is so vital to their survival. The Columbia River Basin is rich in Native American archaeological sites and sacred sites. There is no way a wind farm can be built without encroaching or disturbing these areas. I cite Celilo Falls as an example of the devastation done in the name of energy and progress. In the name of energy and progress, the Hanford Project, which from the beginning had no regard for our natural resources and safety, cooling nuclear reactors with the Columbia River and sending contaminated water right back to run a poison path all the way to the ocean. Construction, production fervor with unregulated, unscrupulous contractors who buried and dumped their waste with no regard to the consequences. Water and land so polluted and damaged, they are closed to us forever. The dams were built to provide energy and water, but again, construction with little regard of the damage. There is no recycling or breakdown of these massive wind turbines. They become skeleton piles of junk, eyesores. We have made many, many mistakes in the Columbia Basin. The dams, the nuclear project, land contamination, wastewater and chemical pollution. We are overwhelmed with damage already done, and we are mired in constant political and environmental cleanup. The Hanford Project remains one of the most contaminated sites in the United States. Please do not add another nightmare to our ever-growing list.
Thank you. Anyone else here in Prosper wishing to speak? Kennewick, do we have this? Go ahead, you have about 3 minutes.
Good morning, Tina Gregory. I agree 100% with getting these windmills out of our area. Justice for all. We the people have lost all form of justice in holding our government accountable. We want in-person voting with ID, no computers. It's time you all step up to help us. It can be done county by county. My taxes got doubled this year and my income has went down. It's time for smaller government and we the people in control again. It's time we get back to God and our Constitution. When are any of you going to back us up? Secondly, we want you to stand up against the Bar Association that has written a new rule against justice. Public defenders can only have a few cases a year. This in turn ties the hands of prosecutors. Justice? These are not elected officials that are pushing these unconstitutional rules. We are living in a two-tiered justice system. Could you mute your mic, please? If you're a globalist funded by NATO, Soros, or Gates, then you will be held accountable. You will not be held accountable. Lawfare against leading politicians, their leading opponent, this is a third world country habit. January 6th lie, still held without charges and a speedy trial. Some getting more time than pedophiles. Oh, that's because the evil leaders want that legal. Do I sound like I'm way out there? Well, this is a spiritual battle we're living in out there. Evil is called good and good is called evil. Parents have to pay all the expenses to raise their children, but they don't get any authority. Our school unions have pushed their evil agendas. I could go on for a long time. You only give me 3 minutes. By the way, why only 3 minutes? Why not five? How many actually come in and talk? I have to come here in the middle of working to talk. We want justice for taxpayers. Crime needs to be prosecuted. We want our streets and schools safe again. Will each of you take your oath to defend our country? Seriously? Oh, did you actually sign an oath? Most politicians don't have to. We are under an invasion at our borders. We want accountability. Our pledge said one nation under God. I want that God back in America. Fear of the Lord is the true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. Those who plant injustice will harvest disaster and their reign of terror will come to an end. Just like your terms. We the people want accountability here. Look for ways to reduce spending. Look for ways to lower our taxes. Quit raising them. We are watching. We will push to have new leaders that will stand against this government takeover. I'm sorry you're having a cough. I hope you feel better. It would be nice if you muted, though, when somebody's trying to speak. Thank you all.
Thank you. Anyone else in Kennewick? Do you have WebEx?
If you're on WebEx, can you raise your hand? I don't see any hands.
Okay, we'll close public comment. I forgot to have the review of the agenda. I got so excited about public comment. So let's do the review of the agenda. Only thing we're going to pull is under scheduled business, there was something under public works.
So work for other public agencies policy update.
Okay, we're going to pull the work for other public agencies policy update. We'll do that next. So pull that off the other scheduled business, and then we have also a other business to add a letter.
We have a letter
for the Lineage Fire,
and then also Chief Guerrero and Mr. Wheeler will come up for an HCA waiver discussion.
Waiver discussion, okay. And before we do the consent agenda, Commissioner Alvarez wanted to make comments on three consent agenda items before we vote on them. So go ahead, Commissioner Alvarez.
Appreciate it. So real quick, the items are actually item F, which is an appointment for the Civil Service Commission, H, appointment for the Benton County Park Board, and I, for Benton County Park Board. And so I always want to try to see us raise the bar from good, better to best. I'm appointing people, I feel that personally, I'm appointing people that I don't know or haven't been in those interview processes for. When I represented the city as a mayor, as a city councilman, we went ahead and we had liaisons, and so we would take, if I was assigned to, say, the Planning Commission or Parks Commission, I would be part of those interview process. I want to kind of bring that back. I know the gentleman here for the Civil Service Commission. We were with some staff. We interviewed for the Library Board, and so I think it's important. I don't mind doing it. If you guys want to do those as well, we can share that, or I'll be glad to take that task on. Sure. But I would like to go ahead and have when we have openings for the Planning Commission, Parks Commission, Water Conservancy, Conservancy Board, yes, and the Library Board. I think those are just some of the ones that I think are important. People are very passionate. Planning is an important one. Parks, people love their parks. I know I was on the Parks Commission as well for the city. I think that's an important one. Library, just because of social media and people just making sure that that's put together and we have that done as well. So those are the ones that I've kind of penciled out. So Civil Service can be there too. I think that's an important one. But if you guys are good with that, we can point these, but in the future, maybe we start interviewing and sure. I'll be glad to do that. Or if you guys want to do
sure.
it.
Sure, we can work with staff.
Yeah,
we're figuring that out.
Okay, that's all I had. I just want to make sure. And one last reason, the other reason I thought of that too, is give you an example. It bothered me. I don't want to disappoint people if they're the only one that applied for it and they don't have the technical skills or the right motivation for being on those boards. There was one, I think it was the Board of Adjustments, what has to do with lot line adjustments, all kinds of stuff. And the person that was appointed was the only one that applied, but they had zero experience, but it could have negatively affected people that were needing those type of adjustments. So that's another reason I thought it's important. With that being said, I will go ahead and make a motion to approve the consent agenda items A through N. Second.
We have a motion and a second for the consent agenda items A through N. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed nay. The ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you, Commissioner Alvarez. Next, scheduled business. We have the Benton Franklin Health District discussion on public health kiosk. We have Kelly Lewis and Joel Erickson.
You can sit down, you can stand up, whatever you want to do. All right. And they're smiling. It's starting off great, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us here today. My name is Joel Erickson. I'm an emergency preparedness coordinator here at the Benton Franklin Health District. And with me is
Kelly Harnish, and I'm the Healthy Living Program Manager at the Health District.
And we're here today to discuss a public health kiosk coming to our area, or the potential to. So about the kiosk, think of it as like a vending machine, but for public health items. So a little bit about the kiosk itself. These are the size dimensions. It's really like your typical vending machine. The kiosk will be completely free for the Benton Franklin Health District. As far as COVID and flu testing supplies go, that's the source that we're getting it through the State Department of Health. Any of the additional products that we want to put in there are the financial responsibility of the health district. And then BFHD would also be responsible for the electrical costs of the machine. So one of the big reasons that we're looking at implementing this kiosk, and dozens of other counties around the state have implemented this kiosk, is because of the accessibility it brings to the community. The services that we offer are, you know, pretty much 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, and this would provide some of those services to be 24/7. There's also live support in multiple languages, so it decreases any barriers there. The supplies that it can hold around 700 COVID and flu tests. They must have a minimum of 50% allocated to those tests, because that's the way we're getting it through the state. And then we can get additional supplies either through the vendor, which is Longview International Technology Solutions, or LTS, or we can give them supplies that we already have. So for example, we already get a lot of different public health supplies through various programs that we have, and we can just simply give those to the vendor and they can put them in. The vendor will do all maintenancing, all stocking, so it's pretty low maintenance on the health district side. And then if there's any issues with the kiosk or things get low, the vendor's notified and the vendor comes out and handles those. So the county's already participating in this program. There's two different columns here. One is the launched. So those are counties in the state that have already, they have the kiosk live. It's rolled out. It's already helping the community. Some of the ones I want to note on the eastern side of Washington here, Soton County, our neighbors in Yakima County, Chelan Douglas. And then there's other counties who have kiosks similar to these, but not the same one, so they're not on the list. For example, Grant County. And then there's also the list of approved. As you can see, our name up there. So the site parameters, they have pretty specific parameters to make sure that this kiosk is available for everyone, that it's ADA accessible. It has to be available 24/7, so that leads to it needing to be outside, which is totally fine. And it has some electrical parameters as well. There's a locking bolt that's going to be put on the outlet so nobody can unplug it. So our site proposal is going to be on the west side of the Benton Franklin Health District building at 7102 West Okanagan Place. And this site's already been approved by both the Department of Health and the vendor themselves, LTS. And now I'll turn it over to Kelly to talk about some of the benefits that we're hoping to see from this kiosk.
Thank you so much for listening and for your time today. The other 50% of the kiosk, or up to 50% of the kiosk, can be used for preventive health supplies, as Joel mentioned. Some of the supplies we already offer to our community that we would like to propose putting in the kiosk would be items such as wound care. There are people who may not have access to their healthcare provider or to the pharmacy, and they may have wounds that could otherwise become infected, leading to hospitalization. So a lot of what we're proposing would actually reduce healthcare costs over the long term. Hygiene kits as well. And then I know I've spoken to our Board of Health a number of times on our overdose prevention program. And so another supply that we offer to our community is naloxone, which can reverse an overdose. And we do already receive those supplies through the Department of Health at no cost, and we would be able to put them in the kiosk, which is a low barrier opportunity to distribute naloxone to people in the community. Another benefit we see is that the kiosk would be available right near a transit center, which is a really opportune location to have the kiosk available. One thing I wanted to mention on supplying naloxone is that in the local data, we're seeing overdose deaths continuously on the rise in our community. However, our emergency department visits are stable, so that it indicates that people are not making it to the hospital to receive life-saving care, which is important. If we distribute naloxone, we have that opportunity to get to somebody before that emergency becomes fatal. Naloxone is safe, it's easy to use, and it's effective. It also comes with educational materials along with every dose that's received.
Great. Yeah, so thank you again so much for having us here today. And the last point I'll mention is that all the products that we're proposing that are going to be in this kiosk are already available inside our doors, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. So it's just expanding that accessibility to the community for 24/7 access. Yeah, any questions? We're happy to answer them.
guess I would, why you're in front of us is because the county owns the building and you need a lease. Do we need to change the lease or just allow, just have a resolution to allow it?
It's a proposal for approval.
Okay.
Yeah, our understanding was because it's public facing and involves facilities on the outside of the building, that's why we had to present in front of you today.
I had a quick question.
Go ahead.
So here's my question. I'm just curious on the vending machine. I understand all the different items that will be in there, you know, and flu test, COVID test, and all the things you mentioned in there. What stops someone, because it's still a vending machine per se, how do you stop it from one person going in there and just reading all of the material? Does it make sense? What precautions? Because you could get one person in there and just, so how does that work?
Yeah. Totally understand the question. The kiosk itself, it requires you to enter some demographic information. It's like a patient portal, but none of it is names or protected health information. The vendor's not trying to gather that. So when you go in, you have to go through a few different steps. Like there's a touch screen that you have to go through a few different steps in order to get dispensed an item. Somebody can go through that process multiple times, and to your point, if they wanted to drain the machine, they could. To date, with
speaking, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah, have you had any
speaking with the Department of Health? They've had zero cases of vandalism with any of these kiosks around the state. Cases of somebody draining the machine, I have not heard of any. Okay. And when talking with the state about vandalism, I feel like they may have brought that up if that was a concern, but. That's not something that we're expecting to happen.
Yeah, it's a valid question. Like, so I'm just curious because, like I said, someone that has overdose and then also they take all of those, they drain the machine up or take all those out, then someone that really needs it, you know. So I'm just curious. I always look at the safety part of it, you know, the security part of it for people that actually are in need versus someone maybe taking a lot of it and then trying to sell it to people that, you know what I'm saying?
Certainly.
So I'm very pro, but I'm like you said, I just had that question. I just was curious.
Yeah.
Do we have a like outside cameras at all that will be viewing this kiosk by chance, just in case there is vandalism or.
We're not proposing like us to have a specific camera installed. Mm-hmm. I know there's cameras around our building, around the Benton Franklin Coroner's office that's right there, or Benton County Coroner's office that's right there. But the machine itself sends live feedback back to the vendor. So if it was vandalized or, for example, in one of the other counties, they had a difficulty with somebody unplugging the plug-in to charge their phone. And so they were getting like direct feedback, like somebody unplugged the machine, and then they found out, they talked with people on site. I think that one was at a transit station, and they were like, oh yeah, that person's been plugging in their phone and unplugging it. So then they made sure that it was locked and everything. Yeah. So they get direct feedback if there's any issue with the machine. But as far as cameras, besides the ones that are already installed,
okay. I'm pretty sure some of our cameras on campus pick up
that. Okay. Yeah, that's my concern, was just as long as we have some video footage that we help out. Yeah.
Do we need to?
I didn't see that. I didn't see a motion.
Yeah, do we have to do a motion or?
I don't know that we need to do anything. Amend the lease or do anything like that, just to have maybe just a consensus. To.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll just make a quick motion then. I move that the Benton County allow a public health kiosk by the health district on the health district building.
Second. That'll work.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
Wing a ding.
Yes. Okay. Just so we have a record. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Auditor's Office Reorganization, Brenda.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for your time this morning. This is a rather simple reorganization. As you're aware, we've been taking the last few years, probably the last 10 years, every opportunity that we've had a vacancy in our office, we do an assessment of what our current needs are, reallocate those resources to where they're better needed. That's exactly what we've done here. So this is just a continuation of the reorganization of our office to better use our resources more efficiently. Happy to answer any questions you have. Basically, we are ending two positions and reallocating those resources to another two positions. It is budget neutral, and that will flow into the next budget cycle. It will not be an increase of county resources.
I don't have any questions.
No, I don't have any questions.
I do. I'm always going to have questions. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're setting that far away. So I have to look at the HR person over here. Thumbs up. We're good.
Yeah,
That's what I thought. We worked
closely with Carly and Linda to make sure that, you know, all of our numbers were correct when we were looking at that budget neutrality, and to make sure that they were current classification positions and didn't disrupt the current
wage and compensation.
Because
we would get other departments, and that's what I was nervous about. I'm like, I want to make sure I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, and I do want to thank both Carly and Linda. They were incredibly helpful as we were looking kind of at what the landscape in our office was.
Well, then I'll go ahead and make a motion if you guys are good. Go ahead. A move to authorize the budget adjustment of the auditor's office.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. What about the transfer of funds?
That's all I had in here for the motion.
Oh, that's all you had? do we need a motion to transfer the funds?
I don't think so.
We do, don't we?
It just says it's budget adjustment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, okay. I got it right. I've done this a few times. Okay. First rodeo.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
I bet you come back for the transfer of funds. okay. Sure.
Don't make a laugh.
Okay. First amended contract with Boughton Construction for the Columbia Valley Center for Recovery. Blaine, Mr. Rasmus.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
So I'll let Robert talk a little bit about the amendment, but we thought it'd be a good opportunity to give a quick update to the board where we are with the Recovery Center project. And so I know Commissioner Delvin sits on our executive team for that, so he's a little more familiar with the process of where we are, but we thought it'd be good to get the other two board members kind of up to speed. And so we've been working for the last several months with Boughton Construction and NAC Architecture, our design build team, on what we call the validation phase. And so what they do is they go into the building and they do a lot of testing and they do a lot of discovery to look at the mechanical systems, the structural condition, everything. They had an engineer in there going through and evaluating the building envelope and the roofing. And so they really dig into that to work with the team and our budget to decide where can we put the programs, which is, you know, the spaces that we need, where are we gonna get the most bang for our buck within the facility that we have, especially because this is a remodel. And so they've been through multiple iterations, including evaluation of the KGH Hospital, the property that we have on Bruno Street. We've looked at options from demolishing everything and starting over to, you know, moving into different facilities. I mean, we've explored a lot of different avenues. And so then the team at the end came up with what they believe is the best option for us to move forward to get the four core programs that we're looking at in phase one in there for the project budget that we've allocated to them. And so in that validation report, you'll see that they've indicated to us that their best belief is to take a good portion of the southern part of that building on just the first floor. So it's a little bit of what is called the Spalding area, a little bit of the old birthing center and the part of the surgery wings there. And that will be the area that they recommend that we focus on. Now, we don't have a hard floor plan yet. They've kind of indicated generally that that area is what will fit those four programs. And so they've given us a very detailed report, kind of outlines the different steps and processes that we've gone through. It has the budget for what they think it's going to cost to get that. And so what we're looking for here is to move into the next step, which is we say, yep, we're comfortable with that validation report. We think that that's an adequate output, and we want to move into the next phase of the design, and that's the schematic design. And so that's what Robert has to present to us today. So any questions on that process before we move into the next part?
Gentlemen, appreciate your time. So the projects we have going on with using the progressive design process are usually broken out into three different phases. We have the first phase validations, as Matt just went over. The second phase we call, for some reason, phase one, and then the last phase, phase two, which is setting the guaranteed maximum price on the project. The phase one phase, which is what I have before you today, is to set up the project so we go into the design phase. And so after validation, we'll start working with our contractor to get into more detailed design and create drawings that we could then build from. Part of the phase one may also be early procurement on long lead time items and also potentially some selective demolition in the building. And a lot of that is just to try and get out ahead of the project so we can move faster. We did spend quite a bit of time in the validation phase. Looking back on it, I think we gathered a lot of information, and I know our team at this point is looking to move forward very quickly into the design and reconstruction. So the next portion of this project, and what I have before you today, is the amendment for phase one. The total amount that we've negotiated with our contractor is $1,621,651.
Questions, gentlemen? Yep, there you go.
All right. I move to approve as part of the consent agenda, the first amendment.
Wait. Sorry, your microphone, Commissioner. Sorry.
Oh, sorry about that. I'll repeat that. I'll make a motion to approve as part of the consent agenda, the first amendment to the contract for Bout Construction Company for the Columbia Valley Center for Recovery for the next phase of the project referred to as phase one, design and early procurement.
Second. Have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed nay. The ayes have it. The motion passes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Onward and forward. Grant application. Robert.
Gentlemen, again, thank you for your time. It was brought to my attention a few weeks back that the Department of Commerce is offering a grant through their Clean Energy Grant Programs. And one of the contractors we're utilizing for bringing our Justice Center up to the Clean Building Standard brought this forward and asked if we would be interested in applying for this grant for solar installation on that building. And that after looking at the grant, I realized that we had the opportunity not just to apply for that building, but also a total grant amount of $3 million that we could apply for several different applications. We haven't evaluated the different sites fully yet, and so we're still trying to develop the applications, but we were looking to focus on the Justice Center, the Juvenile Justice Center, Columbia Valley Center for Recovery, and also potentially the fairgrounds. With those four sites and with the timeline that we have, the applications are due June 14th. I'm coming forward the board to ask for permission to apply for those grants and also giving me authorization to sign those grants as they are, the applications are submitted electronically. Any questions?
Just to clarify too, this is just for with us to help out with the new energy code that we have to bring some of the buildings up to the new energy level and stuff. And so that's why we're doing the solar panel part two, correct? Just to
this will help with yeah. that. Our current project we have in place will actually meet the first baseline for those for those requirements. This will go above and beyond that. Mm-hmm. One of the things to note, and I forgot to mention in the grant, is this is a 95% grant. Mm-hmm. And so we are matching only 5%.
Yeah.
And so one of the things to consider is the return on investment is going to be very quick, probably within 3 years.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because that was going to be my question, return on investment, because I think that's what the public needs to know. Because once, if you retrofit this and it makes sense, it's cost effective, all that energy does, it goes back to Bonneville, whoever, and then we get a credit for it back. That's how typically it works as well. And so I think it's a good move for taxpayers. I know we had a person speaking about trying to reduce expenses and those type of things as taxpayers, and I think this is one way we can do it.
Yeah, and that, like when Robert and I met last week about this, when we talked about that, return on investment. And the thing is, too, if we don't apply for this grant, this money goes somewhere else to help out another area. So that's why I agree with us applying for this grant, just because it helps us out with, again, I don't want to sound like I'm a jerk, but the stupid energy codes that are required for us to spend millions and millions of dollars to upgrade buildings that are, is it 50,000 square feet, right?
Over 50,000.
Yeah, over 50,000 square feet to where everywhere in the state where we spend in millions of dollars. So yeah, thanks for looking into this.
Yeah, it's Benton County taxpayers' dollars, and we don't apply for it. It's instead of going to Benton County taxpayers or something that will save us money, it's just going to go to my friends over there, Amanda McKinney in Yakima County or somewhere else that will apply for it. So I think it's a good move.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, I'll make a motion and approve the Director of Operations and Capital Programs to apply for up to 4 grants with the Department of Commerce for solar retrofit of public buildings and execute applications digitally.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. And ayes have it. The motion passes.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks. Robert. We'll take the lineage. We'll go with the lineage, Greg. Fire letter.
Good morning. We are bringing forward a letter this morning. That letter is to Lineage Logistics in regards to the Finley fire. We did attend myself, Commissioner McKay, and Brad O'Brien, our building manager. We all did attend a town hall out in Finley on May 29th. We received a lot of feedback. The people that live in Finley are very passionate about what's taking place out there and the fire and how long it is taking to get that fire put out and the cleanup to get started out there. And so at the completion of that town hall and our conversations with Commissioner McKay, we decided to put together a letter. We wanted to summarize the urgency of ensuring that that fire does get put out and the public's desire to ensure that that does happen as soon as possible. We also wanted to let them know, and we through this letter, that the activities at the site and the cleanup activities at the site are exempt from the county noise ordinance. So that would not inhibit them from being able to do 24-hour around-the-clock work out there. We did hear some words and different ideas that maybe that was a limitation, so we wanted to make sure we let them know that. And then just encourage them as a county to expedite the process and encourage them to do 24-hour rotations if possible. And lastly, the thing that we did here at the town hall a little bit was their lack of partnership with the community. And so we wanted to kind of stress at the end of the letter to encourage them to be good partners and to have good communication with the local air, fire, health, and the public out there as the cleanup continues. So with that, we did want to bring forward a letter for your consideration today.
I read the letter.
Yeah, so I just want to add to it. I mean, I appreciate the health district too. We were out handing out masks. I dropped off masks either Tuesday or Wednesday of last week. I can't remember what day it was for the school district. And then we were out there Sunday, nice and wet and dripping wet with wetness of rain, handing out the fans and air purifiers. And everyone there, Sunday was crazy. I think Sunday was the busiest day, handing out masks and filters and stuff. And so the community was very appreciative of it. And I think this letter is one of those ones to show the community that, hey guys, we're 100% feeling Finley's pain and stuff. And so I'm excited for this letter. Because again, for me on the side, being there 2 times now and driving by there once a week, it's kind of frustrating that they're not working 24 hours around the clock. I mean, I get, shake your head if I can't say this, but their one excuse was their truck guys aren't coming, can't work 24 hours to drop off, go to Arlington. And I'm like, okay, I get that part, but at the same time, you could still have your equipment there working 24 hours around the clock, spreading the product out, and then bring 5 or 10 more trucks in the morning to haul off the product you guys are doing at 1 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock at night and stuff. So I'm excited for this. Again, for the size of it, it was, I think, 11 acres building, and the fire chief in the town hall meeting too. Mm-hmm. So that was last week. He said the following weekend, that weekend before the town hall meeting, that they found frozen product. So that just goes to show how compact this product is, to where we can't bring in helicopters and douse, you know, flood it with water because the fire is still smoldering way down deep inside this stuff. But at the same time, they should be spending more time spreading it out. And every person I talked to agreed that they see the fire going within 2 to 3 weeks, like they, for how big it is and for the product and stuff. But we're at week 6 now, I think.
Seven or eight.
Week 7 or 8.
Yeah.
So where that's where the people out there are getting very frustrated mm-hmm. because we're at week 7 now or 8, and it should be done week 3 or 4 at the latest. And so I hope this kind of encourages landings to get more involved. And again, I look at it too, to where I'm for this letter because they're probably going to rebuild. They want to keep a good relationship. Yep. And so I hope that they can try to figure out something with those people. So.
Yeah, I'm just surprised the vultures haven't landed out there yet.
Man. Well, that's the thing though. I mean, well, your guys are in Richland, right? Richland area. Yeah. Like I'll be over in Pasco to project, or I'll be over in past WSU Tri-Cities. And I mean, I can't imagine in Findlay, but even in Burbank, I mean, when it's all the way over in Burbank, yeah. going towards Walla Walla, or I mean, even past WC Tri-Cities, there's mornings where I'm smelling it. Mm-hmm. So the whole Tri-Cities is getting affected.
Yep. Okay. You want to approve?
Make motion? Yep. So I got a motion here. I don't have my reading glasses.
You need it. So. Old man. I can read it, old man.
Oh, you'll pay later. All right. So I move to approve sending a letter dated June 4, 2024 to Lineage Logistics encouraging an expedited cleanup process at their site in Findlay.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion passed.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
I got one quick question. Joel, where were we getting those filters from? Was it from the state?
Yeah, so we were getting some from the State Department.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay.
Yeah. Some of them the health district.
And just to clarify, too, we're getting more of those. Important. And that's what I've been telling everybody. Yeah, on Sunday, I told them to keep up on the website for us to let them know when we're going to be handing out more out and stuff. So.
Yeah, we received dozens of calls yesterday from people. Hey, I missed it. Yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
And then I did get a email too from Richard Evans. He's let me look it up real quick. He is Central Washington Outreach Director for Senator Murray Cantwell. So he contacted me, and I did contact him. Kind of just told him the story, and so he got a hold of I think he got a hold of Janae yesterday, the administrator at the health district. So I know the state's getting involved now too, kind of hopefully doing the same pressure that we're doing with this letter. So,
okay. Are you taking care of those emails from the people? We've gotten a couple of emails. I didn't want to answer.
So I didn't reply. Yeah. There was one email I saw yesterday. I didn't reply back. But I think she was there Sunday, I think.
Okay. I didn't reply back. Yeah. You know, I don't want to step on your area.
I'll reply back today at the meeting.
Okay. Thank you. Next, we have a review of the HCA waiver. Chief and Mr. Wheeler.
Good morning, commissioners.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning,
commissioners.
We're in front of you asking for permission to continue with our participation in the HCA 1115 waiver. What the waiver provides is a 90-day reentry for county jails and juvenile detention facilities. We had to submit our letter of intent by June 1 with the holiday and such. This was the earliest we could get before you. We're just simply asking to be able to continue participating in the first cohort. HCA is planning on another 3 cohorts, 2 more after us. You have anything more to add?
Yeah, this just gets us in the door right now at the earliest possible time. There's still a lot of details that need to be worked out with this thing, but we've had the chance to sit in on a few webinars with the Washington Healthcare Authority. We've had a chance to meet with a local provider that kind of oversees the hub here locally. All indications are this would be a good thing that in the long run may help to offset some of our professional service costs, things around behavioral health services for adults and juveniles, medical services, you know, most crucial for our populations that are confined. So it seems like it has a potential overall to be a good thing to figure out. It does put us in the, I think, developing and maintaining electronic health record, which gives me a little bit of the shivers. But, you know, I think, again, there's going to be somebody that understands that process better than me that will ultimately, you know, best serve, I think, our counties. So
the state funding is based off of facility site. So juvenile detention will receive about $1 million. The adult facility will receive 1.5, and then each facility receives up to $1 million in IT support as well. So it's beneficial.
It also seems timely with our juvenile court model. Yeah. We still need to figure out what kind of cost may be able to be used as part of this for the IT portion of it. So it does seem to be timely as far as that goes as well.
And that waiver program just allows the Medicaid dollars to continue for the person, because that's always been a problem in the past.
Yes.
That they go off and they got all this back and forth stuff, and then medications lapse and all that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Just want to clarify that and make sure people.
Okay. You're good? Yeah. I move to approve the salary request form as presented.
Go ahead.
I move to approve.
I clicked the wrong button for a minute. I'm like, what the heck?
I move to approve the Juvenile Detention and Corrections Department to move forward with their intent to participate in the 1115 waiver program.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Motion passes. Okay, now we have an executive. Yeah. Any other business before we go into executive session? Mr. Spencer, anything? Brent, anything more?
Commissioner Delvin, could you clarify the schedules for the month of June?
Okay, so next week I have to. One of the things, you know, we do a lot of committees outside of the county, mm-hmm. One of them is the Citizens Committee on Pipeline Safety is having their the meeting and an event in Bellingham. 25 years ago, a pipeline burst killed two kids and an adult, I think, playing in the area, a pipeline explosion. And so they're having some ceremonies and stuff. And so the Pipeline Safety Committee members are going to that, so I'll miss next Tuesday. But you'll both.
Yeah, we'll both be here. I'll be gone the following Tuesday. So the week of the week of the 17th, I'll be gone.
You'll be gone. Yeah, but I'll be here.
I'll be a remote.
You'll be remote.
So I'll call.
Okay.
I won't be able to be remote. That's okay. Problem, so.
And then the week after that, we're all back.
Yeah, and then just FYI, I'm gone the week of the 4th of July. The boss lady's telling me I have to go with her.
Okay. I'll be here.
So that week that I'm remote, the following week, I'll be remote as well.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I might be able to do remote on the 2nd, July.
July.
2nd. Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll
confirm that at the end of June.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we're all here that last June meeting, right?
Don't be mad at me. I'm just following the boss's orders.
Okay. Okay. Right. Okay. You got family. Huh? Okay, is that clear, Amanda? Okay.
I'll be here working.
Just as long as we're here next week, because that is when we are launching our new system, right. Civic Clerk.
Yeah. Right. We're having meetings to learn that. Okay, so no other business. 5 minutes, we're going to go at ease for an executive session, review qualifications of applicant for public employment. Chief Guerrero is going to lead us, and he needs 5 minutes. It is now 9:49. So we're at ease for executive session. Now 9:54, we're out of the executive session, back in our regular meeting. No decisions were made on the review of qualifications for an applicant. Do you have a motion?
I do have a motion. It sounds like deja vu to me. I move to approve the salary request form as presented for Angie Gilmore.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes. I think that's it, right? Nothing else?
Good job, Commissioner Alvarez, on the motions. Good job.
Meeting adjourned.